My goodness, what happened to the summer? It's good to be back in this space again. And as we enter this fall, we will be using texts from the lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary. We'll try to provide those texts to you in advance so that if you want to read and prepare yourself for each Sunday, you may do so. But I think it's going to be a bit of a mystery what Jessica or I, which text we use, because the lectionary provides a great array of opportunities from Old Testament to Epistle to Psalm to New Testament. So this and all of those have rich preaching possibilities. Take off your sandals. Take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. We have before us the burning mum. Are your shoes on or off? Cindy Lapp, pastor and daughter of Jim Lapp, former pastor here, stood on holy ground in Charlottesville on August 12th at the invitation to join other pastor friend. With other pastors and leader and church leaders and religious leaders from around the country, trained and prepared to be an alternative voice as a group of the far right gathered for a rally celebrating the right of free speech that many would call hate speech. Cindy and those other clergy put their lives on the line on that holy ground for peace, witnessing that love is more powerful than hate, in the belief that diversity would transcend white supremacy. This diverse group became a symbol of love in the face of hate. And tragically, violence erupted, and many were injured, and three died. And it was medical people like Lester and Lena's son at the Charlottesville Hospital who bound up the wounds of the injured, giving witness to the way of compassion and love, even in the face of violence and evil. Take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. Even in the very face of evil, there is holy ground. Do you perceive it? This morning, our text from Exodus. Moses hears in this week's text a call, and he stands before the burning bush with the word of God, which continues to speak if we can hear it. Now let's consider Moses for a bit. This Moses here is not the "let my people go" Charlton Heston Moses that we all remember from that classic 1956 film. This is the shepherd in hiding Moses. At the end of his 40 years, where he had succumbed to violence himself, spending his days running, fleeing, tending sheep in a place where he felt he would be least noticed, on God's mountain called Horeb. Notice it's called in the text God's mountain, Horeb, which in Hebrew literally means wasteland. Deserted and desolate place. It's the sort of place for a man to run, for a person to run, hiding from this terrible deed he had done. And God, in that deserted wasteland place, calls the fugitive, the murderer, Moses. And we see in this account a typical elements of a call story, typical of other Old Testament call stories. And there's a divine appearance that we see at the beginning of the account, an introductory word, this divine commission of Moses to do what God has for him to do, the objection of the recipient of the call, which Moses says, whoa, wait a minute here, wait a minute. And then the divine reassurance, no, I will be with you. And then a sign from God. And Moses thereby commissioned to be God's messenger, God's prophet, if you will, the first in a long line of Old Testament and even prophets who continue to the present day, speaking truth to power. I didn't feel a kind of central theme to this story, and there are lots of themes to pick up on, and so I just said, well, how about if I pick up on three lessons from this text? So the first lesson that jumped out to me is that sense that God calls us sometimes where and when we least expect it. And I believe that there are those of us here this morning who can tell stories of what it's like to have been in a lonely wasteland place of some sort. Perhaps we're there now. And yet, that supposedly lonely, deserted wasteland place becomes the very place where we meet God. Where God finds us, seeks us, catches us, calls us. Where maybe we didn't expect at all. Where it perhaps felt like it's devoid of any possibility of God's presence. We've had that certainly individually and corporately as a congregation. We've had our deserts in the face of loss. And there a bush bursts into flame, but it's not consumed. Hearing again last night the stories from just outside of Los Angeles where those dry hills and bushes bursting into flame, I can imagine that perhaps bushes bursting into flame on the Mount of Horeb were not necessarily an uncommon event in that arid place. But this bush burns but is not consumed, which gets Moses' attention. And then there is the voice when Moses is listening. And I wonder how we would have responded to such a weird phenomenon. And Moses, instead of turning away from it, turns toward this mystery. And there is confronted by the divine presence. Moses is curious. He wants to know why. And sometimes things intrude into our lives that we've not seen before, and we wonder what this means to us. Sometimes those things are welcome, and we engage them with excitement. Other times things intrude into our lives that we do not welcome. And we want to turn away from that. In preparation for the sermon, I read a quote by Rabbi Lawrence Kushner saying that the burning bush was not a miracle for Moses. The burning bush was a test. Kushner writes, and I quote, "God wanted to find out whether or not Moses could pay attention to something for more than a few minutes. When Moses did, God spoke. The trick is to pay attention to what is going around you long enough to behold the miracle without falling asleep. There is another world right here within this one whenever we pay attention. Lesson two. Just as God chose an ordinary bush, mom, whatever, in the desert as a means of self-revelation, so God seems to choose ordinary everyday objects and experiences and people in the world to confront, to call, to speak, to show forth God's self, to commission the holy work of bringing an end to injustice and suffering and evil. Some years ago, when we were still living in Ohio, I was on a short retreat to a place that I had come to love dearly. It was at a point in which I was feeling like I was on Horeb, Mount Horeb, a low place in my ministry, and I felt I needed some word, some divine word. Anything. I took a walk, and since I was feeling bad about myself and about my situation, I tended to look down a lot. And there on the path, my eyes caught a stone, an ordinary stone, but it held my attention for more than just a second because of its shape. Because that stone was shaped in the perfect shape of a Valentine heart. I guess that if a bush could be a revelation of God, so could a stone, a sign of God's infinite love. And shortly after that, a call emerged for me to a new place of ministry, with a renewed sense of God's call and God's love. And I hope that as a result of being in this worship space today, that we too pay attention to the ordinary people, places, events of our lives and our congregational life. Keep, like Moses, cultivating that curiosity about your life, about our church, for lowly things like bushes and stones and people like you and I have the capacity to be the very face of God, the capacity to be sacraments of the divine in our community and in our world. To be the one speaking truth to power, to confront oppression and bring this world a word of hope. Sometimes that word of hope may be to each other, to our brothers and sisters around us, or to our community or our world. Now Moses, when he sees the burning bush, is not comforted, but terrified. He's afraid to look at God, yet he stays and he speaks. He speaks face to face with the Almighty. He dares to confront God. I like Moses' chutzpah. It is God who has spoken to him. And rather just to kind of meekly say, oh yes, okay God, yes, sure, whatever you say. He speaks back. And God engages the conversation. The bush is not consumed, nor is Moses consumed, but empowered to be God's mighty voice to power. And lesson three, this isn't Moses' idea. This is all God's gracious initiative. The entire encounter is God's idea. Not something Moses thought he was just out tending his sheep. Nor is he prepared. He wasn't desiring a closer relationship with God necessarily that we know from the account. And he wanted no special thing. Didn't want to be God's messenger to Pharaoh. Wasn't seeking that office. Hadn't campaigned for it. Hadn't spent billions of dollars on that campaign. Moses wanted no risky task from God. The call, the choice of Moses, this great messenger, the God speaking to Almighty Pharaoh, is somehow God's idea. For God has heard the cries of the oppressed, and God is now on the move, beginning to overturn the present power arrangements, preparing to make a big move against a big Pharaoh, the epitome of the empire. And guess who's going to help God? God will take those abilities and gifts. He will take that handsome Pat and Moses to speak to power. Along with Moses' imperfections and weaknesses, to utilize them all for God's presence and work in the world. And later when Pharaoh wants to know, Moses, who in the world do you think you are speaking to me? Who do you think you are? Moses will respond quite honestly, this is all God's directing and doing. It's not my idea, Mr. Pharaoh. I'd soon be home with Mrs. Moses, tending my sheep. And so Moses takes off his sandals. You see them, they're right here. They're right here. I don't know where you came up with Moses' sandals, Leona. The ground on which he stands is holy ground, and the proper stance is to be barefoot. It's holy because an exchange has taken place here between God and humanity. We see incarnation, God with us, God with Moses, God with God's people, God calling a human being to divine service for the kingdom of God. And God engages one ordinary human for an extraordinary purpose. I'm telling you this along with these lessons because I believe Moses' story, like so many of these stories, is really and can become our story. Some of us, as I mentioned earlier, have our Horeb wasteland experience that have been difficult, lonely, where God has seemed to be nowhere. And God comes to us. So then let's learn to pay attention. However we do that, to the ordinary bushes from which God speaks to us individually and as a congregation. God's call may come through a friend, through our spouse, through a grandchild, through sitting by a quiet stream, or a retreat at St. Mary by the sea, or when we're sitting with someone in a hospital room or at a memorial service of a friend or loved one. It may be on a walk in our neighborhood around this church and engaging a simple conversation with something about which feels very ordinary and mundane. Or, like Cindy Lapp, we may be called to confront injustice. And Cindy certainly mentioned that she felt very inadequate, very ordinary, without much bravery, yet simply trying to be faithful to God's call to her. So be prepared to encounter God in the most mundane experiences of our lives and know that God meets us there. Take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. Amen.